Pew Bible to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. The title of this is Hannah, a woman of grace. And we're going to see how she lives her life and what she stands for and what she does. And so we're going to read from chapter 1, and it might seem like a long read, but it's not that many verses. And we're going to end at 2 verse 1. Let me give you a little bit of a time frame here. Last week we learned about, who was it I preached on, congregation? Ruth, there we go, I couldn't even remember who we preached on. Ruth, about 1100 BC I told you, that's about the time frame. And there's going to be some key things in here because Hannah has a son, which we're going to learn about here in a little bit, called Samuel. And Samuel anoints King David. And so we know that Ruth would have a child and so on, Obed, and Obed would have a son, King David. So we're not too far removed from Ruth. So we're probably in that 1100 to 1000 BC range is where our story falls in today. And so that's kind of where we're at for time frame. So we're on the heels of the story of Ruth. We're coming into Hannah now. And so we are going to read about her life. So let's begin our reading here this morning from the Word of God. There was a certain man from Ramathim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeraham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." And Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the Lord God of Israel grant what you have asked for of him." And she said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, Elkanah, her husband told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli and said to him, "As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord my horn is lifted high." The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we read from 1 Samuel, we hear the story of Hannah. Lord, a woman that had a great faith, who prayed often and deeply. Lord, may you send your spirit in this place today to unfold to us the riches of that word, the things that you want us to learn and to take away from here today, ways that you want us to live and abide in your ways. Lord, so we pray that you fill us with your spirit, and may these words be your words and never my own. And Lord, fill me with that same spirit that filled and just led Jesus upon this earth. And Lord, we pray for those that have gathered here today to hear your word, that you fill them with that spirit as well. Open their minds and their hearts and their souls to receive your word. In Jesus we pray, amen. This is a picture of my grandpa and grandma, Roy and Grace Van Manen. They farmed between here and Rock Valley most of their lives, and my grandma went to be with the Lord in August of 1998, and my grandpa went to be with the Lord a year later, about exactly to the day. But the thing that I want to point out to you this morning is my grandma's name was Grace. How many of you in here know a woman, or maybe somebody in your family, by the name of Grace? Anybody? Wow, look at, quite a few hands went up this morning, isn't there? So there's something significant about that. And what I want to point out to you this morning is that Hannah, her Hebrew biblical name, means grace. Grace. When you think of grace, what comes to mind? Somebody who's soft, gentle, caring, patient, faithful, honest. Maybe even gives you things when maybe you're even undeserving. Hannah lived that kind of a life. And so she was given the name Grace. And then she was married to a husband by the name of Elkanah. Elkanah is also married to a second wife by the wife of Peninnah. Now you might get the point after you read that story that Peninnah, she's not a very nice lady. She kind of irks Hannah from time to time when they go to worship in the temple. And as we read, she reminds Hannah often, "You're unable to have children," and jabs her with that. So you can about imagine how these two ladies played out in this marriage to Elkanah. So you can only imagine what her name might be. And it's on the bottom of the screen so you know that. Peninnah means rival. What a thing to be known for in life. But she was known as rival. And let me also point out to one thing this morning as well about Hannah's life. Hannah and her family in Elkanah, they are not in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to know that. But there's some important things that you need to know. Hannah's son Samuel will anoint David to be king of Israel. And we know that David is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And there's an important thing that takes place. And if you were to read more 1 Samuel, you'll get the full story of what goes on. But I want you to know why Hannah is so important to the whole story in what Scripture says about the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You need to understand that and know that this morning. Hannah lived with her husband Elkanah in a remote part of Israel, and they were part of the tribe of Ephraim. Now, I want to break that up for you too this morning, and so you fully understand where Hannah comes from, where Elkanah came from, and so on, so you have some kind of a boundary to know what's going on in their lives. The family descended from the Kohathites. I don't expect you to know that name. It's mentioned in Scripture. But they were one of the three major lines of the family of Levites, the Levites. Now, let me ask you this question. We know the tribe of Levi had what role in the kingdom of Israel? What was their main purpose? They didn't own any land. What was it? They were priests. The role of the Levite clan was to take care of the worship for the Israelite people. We have the 12 tribes of Israel and so on. And I have a map up here this morning, and you'll see some of those 12 tribes. The tribe of Dan, the tribe of Ephraim, the tribe of Benjamin, of Judah, and all those. They go on and on, the full 12. And so they lived in the land of Ephraim, that tribe, but there were Levites who lived amongst the Ephraims. And so Elkanah's family would be in charge of worship. Now, Elkanah himself was not actually a priest. We heard about Eli and his two sons and so on. And by the way, those two sons of Eli who are priests, and we won't go in this morning, but they are wicked, they are evil, they mess up worship, they do the wrong things in worship, they sacrifice the idols and so on there. They eat the meat that's being sacrificed. They dip it out of the urn or whatever, where it's boiling, they eat it, those two priests do. And so there's some real issues as worship goes in the land at Shiloh. And so let me point out this morning, I'm going to come over here because it's a little darker. The town where Hannah grew up or lived was Ramathim Zophim, which is about right in the center above Ephraim right here. And you can see that over to the right is the town of Shiloh. And so that's where they had traveled to. The distance between those two towns was about 25 miles. Now in Scripture it says that they would go there annually and they'd sacrifice. But you need to understand that they went there a lot more than that to worship God. And so they were devout. They went to church. They went to worship often in their lives. And so this is a devout family that took their worship seriously to God. And so we read about that they go annually to sacrifice this bull and so on. And that's important. That's part of the Israelites' command from God. But we know they did much more than that. And so they had to travel about 25 miles to the tent of meeting where they would worship God and give their sacrifices. And so you need to understand that this morning, what's going on in their life. Always traveled by foot. They might have had a camel or two and stuff like that, but that's how far they'd travel to church. And so you know that they're this devout family. The problem comes that every time they travel to Shiloh to worship God, Peninnah reminds Hannah that you have no children. And you can about imagine how these two women, they probably didn't play very nice. And so often she would get under Hannah's skin and she would just always remind her of those things. What pain that must have caused her. And you see that pain as we read in Scripture, how she wept. And sometimes she might even have been a little bit bitter and so on towards Peninnah. But Hannah would always take time to pray. Always. She'd go off by herself and she would pray to God. And she'd ask God for this child. Her prayers were deep. They were fervent. And she went as far to offer her firstborn child to the worship of God in the tabernacle. And you might understand, we read this morning that she would keep this child, she'd raise this child till this child was weaned. And so you know that they would breastfeed back then and so on. It was common for them that they would breastfeed till the child was 3 years of age. And Hannah would dedicate her son to the tabernacle where Eli was priest So Eli's an older man, and he's got his two wicked sons there. And Hannah says, if you give me a child, I promise, Lord, that I will dedicate this child to you, and you will worship in your tabernacle, and he will be 3 years old when she does that. How many of you in here have a three-year-old child right now? A few of you do. How many of you would dedicate that child to the church, and you'd let Eli, the priest, take that child in, and that child would live there and be raised up within the tabernacle? Maybe some days you might be willing to give your child up, right? But do you see what Hannah's praying for? 3 years old, Hannah says, Lord, as soon as this child's weaned, he's your child. I will dedicate him to the worship of in the tabernacle and so on. This is my prayer, Hannah says. This is how bad she wanted a child. She prayed fervently. She prayed deeply. And she has that first son, and his name is Samuel, and we know that. And there's different meanings to his name, and I just want to share those three with you. His name could mean one of these three, we're not real sure, but the name of God is one, asked from God is another, or heard by God could possibly be the names for Samuel in Hebrew. And she dedicated this son to Eli. And Samuel would become a great priest, and he'd restore the tabernacle to its proper worship. He'd bring things back into order. Sacrifices, worship, prayer, and you know, all those types of things would go on in the temple, in the tabernacle, and they'd worship that way. And Samuel was key to the way that Israel worshiped in that restoration process. Now let me go back just a little bit further. You think about his upbringing, what he was like at home, what his mother was like, the way she prayed, and so on. Hannah is a reminder that mothers are the makers of men and the architects of the next generation. Did you hear me this morning? Hannah is a reminder that mothers are the makers of men and the architects of the next generation. Hannah's prayer for a child helped overcome the darkness and the backsliding of Israel. Think about our nation today, the way we live, our morals, our values, what we think is has worth and so on in the country we live in today. Are we backsliding a little bit in America? You kind of know what I'm talking about. Hannah's prayer through one man turned a nation around. That's how powerful your prayers can be. That's how powerful your prayers are in your life. And Hannah represents that to us today. Hannah, she had great influence. She was a godly wife and a mother. And she had three great loves in her life that I want to share with you this morning. And so you have a snapshot of Hannah's life now. We know that she was fervent in prayer and da-da-da, and she wanted to have a child, and she made promises to God, if you give me this child, this is what will happen, and she did that, and she dedicated her son, and worship was restored, and so, but I want to go back to when she actually lived at home with Samuel as a young boy. I want you to see what kind of life she lived. This is your take home today. There are three things that I want you to be aware of here. And this is not pointed only at the ladies this morning. Men, this is just as much you when I talk about these things today of what goes on. And so we're going to kind of dive into this. The first one you need to understand is Hannah had a deep love for Elkanah, as he did for her in marriage. And there's some scripture on the bottom here. I'm not going to read all of it, but I just want to read just a snapshot of it. You know that he fed Penina, and that he fed her kids and so on. And then he says, but to Hannah, I gave a double portion to because I loved her. just wonder what Penina might have thought at that time, you know, and she didn't get as much as her. Like, whoo, that might have got a little roostly, right? But he said this in Scripture. I loved her more. I gave her a double portion to eat. I cared for her. I loved her with my whole heart, is what Elkanah did. He did that publicly in the tabernacle. That deep love. Now, I'm sure they didn't have the perfect marriage. They had issues. They were living in a sinful world, just like you and I live in today. But they loved each other deeply. They were committed to each other deeply in their lives. Hannah's love for her husband is the key to having influence over her children. So if you're sitting out there this morning and you're in a relationship and you have a husband or you get your spouse, your wife, whatever it is, and so maybe you're having some issues with children and discipline, you know what that looks like. And so listen up here. Listen to what we have to learn here today. If Hannah's love is key to having influence over children, then this is what's most important. The most important characteristic of a godly mother or father, it's not the relationship with their children, but with the relationship with each other. First and foremost. It's her love for her husband that gives her great influence over her children. So let me add this to it. The love between a husband and a wife is the real key to a thriving family. And maybe this morning you're sitting here, well, I'm divorced and my life is broken. God's grace is sufficient for that situation as well. But maybe you're in a situation today where maybe you're struggling a bit of how to parent a child, or maybe your marriage relationship is suffering a little bit. So my key is this morning is in, what is the love like between you and your spouse? What are your kids seeing? Next to God, marriage should be at the center of the family, not the children. Nor anything else. Sometimes we push children into the center of our marriage, don't we? And so the Bible's clear here with Hannah, the way she lives. The relationship between Elkanah and her is first and foremost. And so we learn that lesson today, that the love they have for each other is dominant. It's what they stand on. It's what Samuel sees. It's what Samuel learns. What a relationship would look like. What love should look like. What patience should look like. What caring for each other should look like in their lives. Whatever you teach them in the way you treat your spouse, whether right or wrong, will be planted deeply in their hearts. They are a product of who you are. They will learn to live in the way that you not only teach them, but the way you are an example to them. Men, if you want to know how your daughter or your son should treat their wife, you need to lead by example. Because they will do exactly what you do. If you treat your wife by calling her bad names or whatever, or the way you disrespect her, they will treat their wife the same way. And vice versa, ladies. The way you treat your husband, your daughter will see that, and she will mirror you the way that she'll treat her husband one day. The love between a husband and a wife is the real key to a thriving family. How many of you in here would love to have a thriving family? Well, it's a fight today. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not easy. Satan's beating on all sides of you if you're in a family situation. Remember that. And if you think things are going well, Just wait a couple years. Something will come along. I guarantee you it will. And you might not have to wait a year. It could happen tomorrow. But you need to understand that that marriage relationship is key, all right? That's what Hannah teaches us today. She's a woman of grace, of patience. And I can just about see that Elkanah was probably the same way. They're forgiving. They lived in a relationship together. They loved each other. And so let me also point out one other thing here this morning. Worship was central to their relationship. Remember, the Bible says they went up there probably, you know, once a year to sacrifice and so on. But as I read in the footnotes, did my study in this past week, they went to the tabernacle often, it says. Often. They didn't go to church once a year. They went there often to Shiloh. So you look at that. That marriage is important then. So let me ask you this. If you understand that, that your marriage is central in your relationship besides God, then where is worship in that? As you come together as a family, between husband and wife, and maybe you're single today and that's fine, I'm asking you the same question. How important is worship in the midst of all of those things? I hope you will tell me that it is very important. I need to be in church every Sunday because the way you lead is what you teach your children. People come and ask me, well, how do I get my kids in church? And I'm going to ask them this, or I'll tell them this. How often are you in church? You want your kids to be in church. You need to be in church because you're role modeling to them. If once a month is good, they'll think once a month is good. If you think that you need to be here every week and that's important to you, they will think that it's important and they will be there every week. You see how that works? Worship needs to be central in your marriage. Second, Hannah had a love for God. Her spiritual passion was seen in her fervent prayer life. Her life was set on heavenly things, not earthly things. That's what she prayed for. She prayed for this child to be born. She prayed for the child to be dedicated to God and to restore worship and so on and so on. She focused on things above in her life. A lot of times we get bogged down and we focus on the earthly things, the things that happen around us. And I always tell you, keep your focus on above when the things on earth get a little crazy and a little hard. Hannah was good at that. That's what she did. And get this, this is what's great about it. When she was frustrated, when she was bitter, when she was maybe even angry and she cried out to God, she still did one very important thing. She took time to pray. Always. In her life. The hardships that she endured turned her towards God. And a lot of times when we encounter hardships, it'll go two ways for us. We'll either draw closer to God, the Father, and we'll pray our heart out, or we will turn from God and we will leave. We'll quit going to church and we'll stay home and we'll find answers in other ways for the hurt that we deal with. When somebody falls into sin, you'll see this play out. Either they'll grasp onto God and they'll pray and they'll come and they'll try to work through it, or they'll quit coming to church. See, Hannah doesn't do that. She struggles, she's got issues, she's got problems. She knows that her source is God the Father in heaven. And she prays to that source who can only bring her the answer. No one else can. Samuel 1 verse 12, if you have your Bibles open, she kept on praying to the Lord. She kept on, she kept on, she kept on. She loved God. That's the type of characteristic we need to have in our lives as well. Samuel 1, verses 10 and 11 goes on to say this. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. How many of you ever been in a situation where you're so hurt, you're so broke, that you can't even get words out of your mouth? You can't even pray to God. Hannah was there. Eli seen her sitting there. Her lips were moving, but nothing was coming out. But let me tell you something, people. There are lessons here that we learn about Hannah's life and the way that she prayed. You see, the thing that we learned about Hannah's prayer when she's down on her knees and she's weeping to God and Eli sees that no words are coming out and her lips are moving, she realized that God can see your heart. He knows exactly what you need before the words even come to your lips. And if you're so broken and you're in a place in your life where you can't even get a prayer out anymore, you need to know that when you drop on your knees before God, He hears that prayer. And He knows what you need. Then you might say, well, Rob, why do we need to pray? If He already knows everything and He knows our heart, why do we need to pray? Because the reason He wants you to pray is because He wants to hear your voice. He wants to live in a relationship with you. He wants you to call on Him. He wants you to realize that He's your Lord and Savior. But yet, when you get in desperate times and life is hard and you're struggling with an issue, you can still drop to your knees. And if you can't get words out, the good Lord will hear that prayer. Just like Hannah did. Hannah could see. Hannah could understand that God could see right to the heart. Now let me go a little bit deeper with you about prayer this morning and how this works. Some of us are good at this. Others, we need a little bit of practice. When she prayed to God, she left it there. And what I mean by that is that she prayed for this son, Samuel. And she gave it to God, and she left there. And if you'll notice the scripture, it says, and I don't remember it word for word, but she got up and she left there, and she felt good. She felt that peace. She went and ate and so on. How many of you, when you get done praying a prayer to God, and I don't know what the prayer is like, but you pray it, and then you leave the prayer, and you don't feel any better? And you might wonder, well, what's going to happen with this situation? You see, Hannah, she could pray the prayer, and she could leave it at God's feet, and she walked away there with peace in her heart, knowing that God would do the right thing according to His will. That's key, by the way, His will. Maybe not what you want, but His will. So when you pray next time, if you really want the peace of God to come upon your heart, leave that prayer to God and trust Him that He will answer that prayer according to His will. And be at peace in your heart. See, Hannah lived at peace with that prayer. And so we need to leave our prayers at the foot of the cross and let God do His work. Because every time you pick it back up, you're saying, God, I don't quite trust You. Are You going to do the right thing? We need to leave it there and let God do His work in our lives. Hannah was able to do that. So are we, if you trust God. They call that faith, by the way. Faith. Here's the third point I want to make with you this morning. Hannah had a love for her home and her family and her life. She loved her husband. She loved her son. She rose above the antics of Peninnah, who was always getting at her and turning the old knife in the side about not being able to have any kids. She rose above those things. She never fought back at Peninnah. She never told Peninnah off. She never said, get out of here. She just prayed to God. She held her tongue and prayed. And then When she was blessed with a child, she took her work seriously. Listen closely here, mothers and fathers, even grandparents. She taught him about God and how to pray. She carefully dictated the course of his learning of what he would know, what he spent his time doing, and he helped shape his interests. She knew where he was heading, to the tabernacle to worship. Hannah understood how vital his early years were, from 1 to 3, and how much influence she could have over the way that this child would grow up, who he'd become, the way he would act, the things he would do, the things that were important to him in his life. See, Hannah understood that. Samuel went on to be a great priest. And we know that if you read on that there's some demise that come at the end with his long hair. You know the Bible story. But get this. I found this quite interesting in my reading this past week. Did you know that the first couple of years in a child's life, that 90% of their personality is formed? And you have a part in that. 90% of their personality is formed. And as a parent, you get to shape that. Now, you won't be perfect, and every child will be different. I get that. We have different personalities between our three boys. You have different personalities within your children and so on. But you get to help soften the edges. You get to help direct their life. What's important? You get to help them in deciding who you should worship and how important God is and what prayer life should look like in your family. You get to shape that. Your role as a parent is crucial in how you live and what you do. Hannah understood that. She got that. You know, Hannah was blessed with 5 more children after that, Scripture says. She had a rather large family. She was greatly blessed in her life. May your home be filled with godly training, godly teaching, godly prayer. May your home be a place where God is honored. May your home be a place where grace is abounding, where it overflows, where there's love and gentleness and kindness with your kids. That's what Hannah teaches us. May you love your spouse the way Hannah did and the way Elkanah loved Hannah as well. May you be a picture of that story. It's my prayer for you today. As families, we need to keep praying for each other. And all of God's people said,